I'm obviously not Steve. They're on a much-needed vacation. I'm going to be teaching out of 2 Samuel 7 this morning, so if you could grab a Bible and flip there, and if you don't have one, one's in the pew. I am echoing really bad. Give them a minute to fix that. So about 3 years ago, my wife came to me and she said, "Honey, I want a baby." I wasn't sure how to respond to this. Part of me is excited. All you guys in the room totally understand that. The other part of me is terrified. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. So I did what any normal dad does. I got on the internet. I started Googling this. What this then turned into is I found out that nobody on the internet knows how to raise kids either. Because there's like 40,000 differing opinions. And so I was like, okay, I've got two dads in my life. I'll look at them. And I was like, okay, this one did this one right, and this one did this one right. This one might have done this one wrong. This one might have done this one wrong. Somewhere in the middle here is an answer. And so I decided, you know what, I probably ought to go to the Father and find out how to be a father. So I began to pray, God, please teach me how to be a father. Please teach me how to be a dad. Please teach me how to do this right. This has been a 2-year process. I still suck at it. If you haven't met my daughter, you should. She's an unbelievable child that's thanks only to her mother, so not me. But what I want to give you this morning is part of what God gave me in how to be a father or a parent in this picture, and how to ensure that hopefully you do it better than the last generation. That's all of our goal, right? Is to do it better than our parents did. Okay, maybe. All right, so I'm titling this Dynasty of Kings for anybody that actually cares, and we're going to run through a couple of verses. I'm going to walk this out, and we're going to see what God shows. So starting in verse 1, it says, "When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies, the king summoned Nathan the prophet. 'Look,' David said, 'I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent.' Nathan replied to the king, 'Go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you.' But that same night, the Lord said to Nathan, 'Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in?'" Okay, let's pause for a second. There's a picture of it's kind of an artist's rendition of what we think David's house looked like. I don't know about y'all, but my house doesn't look like that at all, okay? So David had it pretty good, and somewhere out in the side of this is the Ark of the Covenant, sitting in the tabernacle in a tent. And so David's saying, man, this is not right. Why is it that I get this big, huge house, and God gets to live in a tent? So back down in verse 6, it says, verse 5, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. Are you the one to build a house for me to live in? I have never lived in a house from the day I brought the Israelites out of Egypt until this very day. I've always moved from one place to another with a tent and a tabernacle as my dwelling. Yet no matter where I've gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's tribal leaders, the shepherds of my people Israel. I have never asked them, 'Why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house?'" God's essentially looking at David and saying, "I don't need a house. I've never needed a house. I want to dwell with my people. That's what I want." Verse 8, Now go and say to my servant David, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I took you from tending sheep in the pasture and selected you to be the leader of my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I've destroyed all your enemies before your eyes. Now I will make your name as famous as anyone who has ever lived on the earth, and I will provide a homeland for my people Israel, planting them in a secure place where they will never be disturbed. Evil nations won't oppress them as they've done in the past." God's telling David, man, I'm going to plant a sovereign do not disturb sign on the door of your house. Does anybody want one of those today?
Yes.
Flat out, I'm sick and tired of the attacks of the enemies. Let's put a do not disturb sign on my house. I'm done.
Yes.
Verse 11, it says, starting from the time I appointed judges to rule my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. David is looking at God saying, I want to make a house for God. It's not right that I live in a cedar palace and God lives in a tent. And God is looking at David saying, I want to make a home for you. I want to make a home for you to live in. I believe this morning that this cedar palace that David has represents everything that we try to build on our own lives. Everything that we set up as idols or altars to God, everything that we boast in that is not Him. And God's saying, I want to make a home. I don't want you to make me a house. I want to make you into a home. Verse 12 says, furthermore, or finishing up verse 11, it says, furthermore, the Lord declares that He will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. And this is God talking to David about his future son Solomon. He says, for when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, your own offspring, and I will make his kingdom strong. He's the one who will build a house, a temple for my name, and I will secure his royal throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod like any father would do. So, David's line was not meant to be a line of warriors. If it was, then Solomon greatly disgraced his father. Solomon was a king of peace. His name means peace, and he lived in a time of peace. What God really and truly wanted David to understand is, I'm going to raise up a generation after you that is going to be worthy to build my temple. It tells us in 1 Chronicles 22:8 that David could not build the temple because there was too much blood on his hands. God did not want his house, his place, to be a place of war, but a place of peace. And so that's why Solomon was able to build it. But see, God knew that he had a perfect king coming. Not a David king, not a Solomon king, but a perfect king. A king that was going to provide perfect peace. A king that was going to provide everlasting life. A king that was going to finish what God had started in the very beginning. Now, some of you are like, Aaron, you're not saying very good things about David. I don't want you to get offended right now. David's story is not in here for us to look at and go, oh my goodness, look how amazing David is. David's story is in here for all of us that have screwed up 10,000 times and 10,000 more times and 10,000 more times, look at and go, man, you know what? I can start over. And I can do it again. And I can still finish the race well. God's telling David he wants to bring a king's son through his line. A son who will bring ultimate peace. A son who will be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Colossians 2:9 tells us Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I told the students on Wednesday night, I said, that to me is the most theologically rich statement in the entire body, or in the entire Bible. You want to know what God's character is? Stare at Jesus. You want to know what God's nature is? Stare at Jesus. And in that same breath, be absolutely afraid of anything you think God is that you cannot see in Jesus. He is 100% the fullness of God, bodily, with us. So here's the deal. Verse 14, it says, I will be his father and he will be my sons. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod like any father would do. I feel like God is looking at David saying, here's the deal. I am about to put my hands on your family tree. I am about to shake your entire family tree. I'm going to take your son, who you would call a son, and I'm going to step into the role of his father because you can't do it properly. I'm going to surrogate him and raise him up in a different manner, in a better way. I feel like God is wanting those same things for us today. He says, I want to take your family tree and I want to shake it in a way that glorifies my name. Drug addicted families, God says, I want to shake that. I want it done. I want it over with. Husbands and wives that are disinterested in what's going on at the church, God says, I want to shake this and change this. Family members who have walked away from God, God says, I want to shake this and change this. And I want to do it because I want to establish in you a home. I want to start with a home to where the fruit that shows up in your heart is evident of what I've done. God says he wants to take things that are disjointed and bring them back under his reign. He wants to take things that are disconnected and bring them back under his reign. I want to take your son and make him my son. God says, I'm taking over your family tree. I'm taking over your line. I'm changing everything from here forward. Never again will it be, well, my dad was a drug addict, so I'm going to be a drug addict too. God says, I'm done. I'm finished. Oh, my dad was a loser, so I'm a loser too. I'm done. I'm taking your family tree. I'm changing it. I'm shaking it for the glorification of my name and for the furtherment of the kingdom. This is what he's wanting to do in David, and it's what he wants to do in us today. I feel like some of you today are called to do great things, but you're cautious and you're scared and you're being timid because family members have said, wait a minute, let me see if I understand this right. You've got a great job and a great education today and you want to leave and go to Africa where you're going to make no money and you have possibilities of diseases and stuff. I don't get it. God's saying the best thing you can do is take my will and follow it fully. Stop worrying about what your family says and establish the home where I want your home to be. Set your home up where I want it to be and let me hang the do not disturb sign on your door. Let me give you rest from all of your enemies. I've done it before. Let me do it again. But stop worrying about what the world wants and worry about what I want. I feel like during this time period, David is struggling with being a man who can't decide whether he wants to war or whether he wants to build. God's telling David, I just want you to stand still. I just want you to wait and let me make you into a home. See, I think sometimes as fathers, we're so busy trying to take care of things, so busy trying to fight battles, so busy trying to build buildings that we don't take time to stand still, meditate with the Word, and be established into a home. Because of this, we have not been given the right to raise this dynasty of kings that God wants to raise up. All we're able to do is raise foot soldiers. Now, don't get me wrong, I thank God for foot soldiers in the kingdom. Okay, somebody's got to do the dirty work. But I also thank God that there comes a time and a place in all of our lives where we don't have to be a foot soldier anymore. God says, I want you to be more. And I think God wants us to raise a dynasty of kings, but that can't happen until we stand still and create a home. David struggled between being a man that wants to war and a man that wants to build, and God says, I just want you to be a man that wants to father, and nothing more right now. I wonder if that's not where some of us are today. We're doing everything we can to war and build because Satan knows if he can get us to spend our time warring and building, then he wins. I wonder if we stood still for a minute, went home, established a home, if God might say, you know what, I want to raise up another dynasty of kings and might begin that right now. But we've got to take some of the time that we're spending warring and building and divert that off of our enemies and onto our children. See, contrary to what the world tells us, being the best mechanic, the best electrician, the best businessman, the best pastor doesn't get you much if you don't take the time to love and raise the next generation. This is the reason that I am so grateful for the men in my life that have shown me that you can love God with every fiber of your being, still be a success in this world, still love your wife as Christ loved the church, and still raise your kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's why I will continue to seek out their wisdom and their counsel and their advice as I go on through this life, because I know that there's got to be more than the example the world sets out for us. I've got numerous friends of mine who are in the military, and I'm not sure that I can find worse examples of fathers in the world. They are the elite fighting force in the world, and they spend all their time saying, because I am spending my time defending my country, I don't have to worry about what goes on at home. That's for my wife. And God's saying, no. That's not how I meant for this to be. Stop warring, stop building, and create a home for the next generation, because I want to raise up a dynasty of kings through you. Leviticus 6, 12 to 13, maybe. It says, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. So, dads, I want to ask this. You're the priest of your home. It says, each morning the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. Do you get up in the morning and arrange the offering on the altar of your home in your own quiet time? Or are you too busy getting up and getting ready to go to work to build your own cedar palace? Or are you worried about building a home? Are your kids able to get up and watch you follow Jesus, or are they watching you build your own house? Paul puts it best in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. What if we took just a minute, stopped worrying if our kids were imitating us and just worried about imitating Christ, and let our kids take care of following us on their own? If we follow Christ, they're going to end up imitating us and following Him too. Or are we too busy building our own cedar palace? It's because I feel like God wants to bring revival not in this church because of families, but through this church because He did it in families. I want families that are going to come back from any and all oppressions that God has placed, that Satan has placed on them. God wants to deliver you from them and bring revival through this. Now, obviously, some of you are in here going, Aaron, I don't have kids, or they're grown. They're already well past the age of me having any influence. Yeah, maybe. My dad will tell you that's not necessarily true. At some point, they will remove their head from their posterior region. You hope and pray. I'm still working on it. He'll attest to that as well. But what I also wonder is if maybe there weren't some parents of grown kids or grandparents today that would say, man, you know what? Yeah, my kids are grown and I did a pretty fair job. But there's still more that I can do. There's still more that I can give. My life after retirement doesn't need to be the worst parts of my life. I need to find somebody to surrogate, parent, or to mentor. What if we said, man, you know what? The fact that there is a single mom epidemic running through the world today, let alone our churches, let's get men who are going to step up and say, this isn't how it was meant to be, and let me step into this role and show these kids what a real father should be. I wonder if we could change the tide of a generation by making sure that at least in the church, the single mom stereotype that gets put on kids went away because we had fathers that showed up and said, man, I'm going to surrogate that child right there. I'm going to make sure that every Sunday I show up and shake that kid's hand, say hi to him, ask him if there's anything I can pray for him about, and make sure he understands what a godly male role model looks like. I wonder if we could change the tide of a generation. I wonder if the church could begin to raise up a dynasty of kings. I wonder if we could slow down all the stats that talk about teen pregnancy, drug use, divorce, bankruptcy, and all the rest of these problems running through the world today. If we slowed down the fatherless homes in the church and begin to raise a dynasty of kings. It was never God's design for women to end up divorced, raising kids on their own. Men need fathers. But because of a broken world, this is the situation we live in, but we need men to step up and be bigger, better examples of what godly men are than what we see running all over the place today. And I'm sorry to tell you guys, but the truth of the matter is, half the time in the church today, fathers look no different than they do in the secular world. Because we show up on Sundays and we sit in a pew and we go, I'm here, I've paid my dues. And then we go home and every single Sunday morning, or every single morning, we get up and instead of arranging the offering on the altar of our homes, we make sure that we're building our own cedar palace. I wonder if our prayer today would not be the same as David's. At the end of the chapter, starting in verse 25, he says this, and now, O Lord God, I am your servant. Do as you have promised concerning me and my family. Confirm it as a promise that will last forever. And may your name be honored forever, so that everyone will say, the Lord of heaven's armies is God over Israel. And may the house of your servant David continue before you forever. Verse 27, O Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, I have been bold enough to pray this prayer to you because you have revealed all this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For you are God, O sovereign Lord. Your words are truth, and you have promised these good things to your servant. And now may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so it may continue forever before you. For you have spoken, and when you grant a blessing to your servant, O sovereign Lord, it's an eternal blessing. I wonder if we wouldn't have the capability to pray that today. God, I know what you've promised my family. I know you've promised to raise up a dynasty of kings, so I want you to do that. But I want us to understand that in order for him to do that, we've got to stop what we're doing. Stop seeking after our own pursuits. Go home. Establish a home. Divert energy away from our enemies. Put it on our children. And begin to actually raise a dynasty of kings. So all I'm going to ask this morning is that the altar opens for families who would say, man, you know what? I've done it wrong. I have not been the father or the mother that I should have been to my children. Maybe you've done it right by the world's standards, but by God's standards, I haven't done it right. But parents that would say, man, I've done it wrong, and even better, so that you would grab your kids, bring them with you, and actually take a moment and say, I'm not perfect and I did it wrong. Let me tell you a secret they already know. Okay. We, as parents, we try to pretend we're perfect, but your kids know better. So this would be my request as we open the altar, that parents and families would fill the altar and say, today is the day that I'm done doing it wrong. If that means that as a father, you turn around and you end up in the same place that I was and you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. When it comes to being a dad, I suck. Maybe because you didn't have a father. Maybe because your father was not very good. Or maybe because you just screwed up along the way. But that we would take the opportunity this morning to say, today is the day that I'm done doing it wrong. Today is the day that I stop following the world, stop building my own cedar palace, and begin to allow God to build a dynasty of kings. So as Mike comes up, I'm just going to leave it open. If you want prayer, the deacons will be available. I'll be available. If there's somebody in the room that you've been looking at going, man, you know what? That guy did it right. That guy's closer to doing it right than I am. Maybe you need to go grab that guy and say, man, I just need a mentor. I just need somebody to show me how to do it better. Maybe you are the other side of that picture, the mentor side that says, I've seen a child with no father, and I want to try and step into that role as best as humanly possible. Maybe that's what this time needs to be. Either way, I'm going to leave it up for God to do what he wants to do, that if nothing else, we bring our kids to the altar and we pray over this. God, do as you want in our families today.